Today's Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Good morning, St. Nick's. It's great to be with you. Today we begin Advent, the season of getting ready, and waiting. Are you ready for Christmas yet? I remember a few years ago, at the beginning of Advent, we were getting ready in the rectory. We were putting up our Advent calendars and candles and so on, and Ellen said to one of our small children, they were a little bit smaller then, she said, "It's so exciting, we're getting ready for Christmas." And they replied, "But Mummy, I am ready for Christmas." Sometimes it's hard to have to wait. Sometimes we're not exactly sure what we're waiting for. Perhaps that's especially true this year, with so many questions around a COVID Christmas. The government has made a series of significant announcements this week regarding Christmas regulations and the end of lockdown and the return to the tier system, but there's still so much uncertainty. If your family is anything like mine, it's complicated. We're still puzzling through who should meet with who and when and where and how to ensure that no one is left on their own. And even when we've worked it all out, what will it be like? What exactly are we getting ready for? What exactly are we looking forward to? We're beginning a short sermon series this Advent, starting today, Getting Ready for What? And we're preaching from some of the familiar Advent and Christmas readings to remind ourselves of what we're really and ultimately looking forward to. And our theme today is the Prince Who Brings Peace, from Isaiah 9 that Alison introduced and then Eric read to us. The people that Isaiah was writing to, the prophet Isaiah, did not celebrate Christmas for obvious reasons. But if you'd asked them what they were looking forward to, what they were longing for, they could have told you very clearly. They wanted, they needed a ruler and a rescue. The nation of Israel, once a prosperous and mighty nation, had been reduced to a shadow of its former self, split in two by division and civil war, ruled by a succession of godless and corrupt kings. And in addition, not only were they a shadow of their former selves, but the nation was being overshadowed by its powerful and aggressive enemies, the Assyrians, and then in time the Babylonians, who would come and carry them off into the darkness of exile. Israel was indeed in gloom and distress, verse 1. A people walking in darkness, in the shadows and deep darkness. And into this darkness, Isaiah shines a light of hope. Verse 2, a great light, a new dawn, a new day that is coming. It's a prophecy of a new birth, of a new king, for to us a child is born. Verse 6, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. A new king born for great things, a new reign bringing with it a rescue. A new king is coming, a new day is dawning. Get ready. I have two questions to ask about this promised king of Isaiah's prophecy. Firstly, what is he called? And secondly, what is his calling? What is he called? What is his calling? So firstly, what is he called? We're used to the fact that names almost always mean something in the Bible. As you read the Bible, if you're like me, you're looking down at the footnotes regularly to remind yourselves what some of these old names mean. Abraham, Jacob, Joshua, Isaiah, we learned earlier from Alison, means God is salvation. The king to come in Isaiah 9, though, needs no footnotes. He is the king of four wonderful names. Verse 6. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do you find yourself singing Handel's Messiah as you read them? Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. This is a king who will give counsel. Wise, wonderful advice, wisdom in contrast to the foolishness of so many of Israel's rulers. This is not just a king who talks, though. He has power too. Mighty God, divine power. And of course, wisdom and power can be abused by rulers, used for their own selfish ends. What matters is the character and the care of a leader. And this one is Everlasting Father, a king who loves and protects his people as a father loves and protects his children. And finally and ultimately, this is a king who does not just use his power and wisdom to protect through war. His reign will not just simply be a long list of successful battles and conquests, but ultimately a reign of peace, an end to war. He is the Prince of Peace. What is he called? Isaiah's promised ruler. He is the king of four names. Hear them. Four wonderful names. A new day is dawning. A new king is coming. He will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Can you feel hope rise? Can you feel light begin to shine? Think of the rulers of this world who intrigue us, often outrage us, sometimes inspire us. We puzzle over their characters, we wonder about their motivations. Think of the leaders in our country, how they've fared in different ways under COVID. Think of the US elections and that fascinating contrast of characters. Former US President Obama has written a book, it's just come out. I wonder how many of you have that on your list to read for Christmas. So many characters. This king of Isaiah's, the king of four names, quite unlike any of Israel's recent characters. Of course, there have been glimpses of these things occasionally in the wisdom of King Solomon, in the power of King David and his armies, brief periods of peace and security. But this coming king, hear his names again. They describe what he's like and how he will act. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These names point us to a king unlike any before or since. We look ahead and we see them in the king who came at Christmas. We see them in the character of Christ. Remember his wisdom. Even as a boy, the teachers of the law amazed at his learning. His divine power, miracles over nature and sickness and evil and death. His love and his care and his compassion for those around him like a father to his children. His peace. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, surrounded, betrayed, and arrested, and one of Jesus' disciples lashes out with a sword and Jesus rebukes him, "Put it away. I have not come to lead a rebellion." And so he went silently, peacefully, to his death, where he won a peace between humanity and God, enabled us to live at peace. As we get ready for Christmas, to celebrate the arrival of the King, before we turn too quickly to what he came to do, let's wonder about what he was like, his character, this king of four names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A new day is dawning. A new king is coming. Firstly, what is he called? Secondly, what is his calling? A few years ago, I met up with some clergy friends just before Christmas, all vicars. I was at theological college with them, and I asked them for inspiration for my Christmas Day children's talk. I needed a good illustration, and one of my friends, Steve, gave me a brilliant, if completely unworkable, idea. He said, give all the children, Christmas Day, give all the children toys, swords, and hammers, and get them to beat the swords into plowshares. I've never used the idea, but I've never forgotten it either. Isaiah, in his prophecies, looks ahead to a new day, the dawning of a new age, and he uses a variety of visions of peace. In chapter 2, earlier on, it's swords beaten into plowshares. In chapter 11, it's lions lying down with lambs and children playing with adders. In chapter 9, our chapter today, it's military uniforms being burnt up for good. Verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. These are powerful pictures of the new order that will come when the king finally reigns. Visions of peace, safety, harmony, a return to Eden. This is the calling of the king, the Prince of Peace. An impossible vision. Imagine all the people living life in peace, sang John Lennon. But he was shot in the street a few years later. Remember the famous incident in the trenches in France on Christmas Day 1914 when German and British soldiers laid down their weapons and they laughed and they talked and they exchanged cigarettes, they played football. Apparently the Germans won on penalties. A wonderful picture of peace for one day only. Precisely because they had not beaten their weapons into plowshares or burnt up their uniforms. The next day they were back in the trenches shooting at each other. We're not very good at peace, making it or keeping it. So Isaiah's vision of peace under the king's rule points us again to Jesus, not just his first coming that we prepare to celebrate, but his second coming that we eagerly anticipate. Come, Lord Jesus, is our Advent prayer. There is a longing and a long waiting through Advent. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Prince of Peace. May the new day finally dawn. May your light fully shine. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As followers of this King, we are called to continue his ministry and his mission, to reflect his character, to continue in his calling, to bring counsel and care to people and circumstances around us, to bring peace. What does that mean for you as you make your plans for this COVID Christmas? Whichever households you end up spending those 5 days with, however else you communicate, show love and care and compassion face to face or over Zoom or in a phone call, as followers of Jesus, we are called to continue in his ministry, to reflect his character and his concerns. And we're called to wait for his return. Come, Lord Jesus. As we prepare to celebrate his first coming in humility, so we wait for his second coming in glory. Emil Brunner, the theologian, once wrote this: faith in Jesus without the expectation of his return is a check which is never cashed, a promise which is not made in earnest, a flight of steps which leads nowhere. But the check will be cashed, and the promise will be fulfilled, and there is an end, an eternity in sight. A new day is dawning. A new king is coming. So let me pray this Advent prayer, and then we're going to watch a short Advent poem, and we'll sing, and then Ben is going to lead us in our prayers. Let me pray. O Lord our God, make us watchful and keep us faithful as we await the coming of your Son, our Lord, that when he shall appear, he may not find us sleeping in sin, but active in his service and joyful in his praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.